gonna be muted again.
He looks okay.
He's good now.
Did you miss me? I guess not, because we are back again, even with the music still just rolling on through. David Morris Studios here with us to talk some more Maple Leaf camp and have some fun. David, welcome back to the Offside Airwaves.
I'm excited to be back. I wait for these invitations, you know?
Well, listen, the door is always open for the Locked On Leafs crew.
Careful. When you tell an Italian the door is open, we take advantage of that door being open. We don't even knock. We just come in.
He's just going to find the link somehow, and he's just going to walk right into a random episode someday.
That's fine. Hey, yeah. Every Sunday and Wednesday, we'll be going throughout the season. It's in the evening, so you know it's probably before your Locked On broadcast. You can use us as the warm-up, the pregame, if you will, to get yourself ready for your show.
Yeah, now we're back to 5 days a week. It's like, oh, love this team. 5 days a week. There's a lot of people that do it 5 days a week, so I can't complain.
I was going to say, David, it's a 24-hour thing if you're a Leafs fan. Come on, 24 hours, 7 days a week. What are we doing
24.
Here?
We're going to find extra reasons to make it longer than 24 hours in a day. That's fair.
Some days as a Leaf fan, it feels like it's longer. I want to get your initial gut reaction to camp so far. There's been some things thrown out there that, hey, as Leaf fans, we've thought about or haven't thought about or said, whoa, hold on a minute here. You got Brad Treliving saying, hey, this defense it's underrated, folks. It's underrated. I think people need to give it some time to come together and figure itself out and all this good stuff. And we all were like, well, hold on. I think we need one more bona fide name. And then there's William Nylander. Hey, at center, we'll talk about him in just a minute. But what are your initial things to start out here at camp?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you try to figure out where the pieces are going in the puzzle, but a lot of it, you can kind of already figure it out for yourself. Like, who's going to be on the top pairing? Well, I mean, you look at the options. You're not putting John Klingberg and Morgan Rielly on the ice together at 5-on-5 unless you need a goal, right? Like, and if you're putting them out there all the time at 5-on-5, that's a little bit of a problem together. So, like, you already know, like, Sheldon Keefe is one where he will try things, but to a degree of sanity, right? So you can already guess where certain things were going. Then they throw the William Nylander playing center curveball that kind of just like, we're going to do this again? Okay, let's do this all over again. I'm ready for that ride again. And then, you know, you try to figure out also the cap shenanigans are going to have to go through to even make this roster, even qualify for the season, right? So there's just so many things you have to figure out as training camp goes along. But then you hear, yeah, Brad Treliving's obviously probably the best support. Like, he's trying to bring that Kyle Dubas mantra of he's going to support this team no matter what people say. Ah, you know what? 2 days before, like a week before, Ray Ferraro said, this isn't a defense that's going to win the cup. And then Brad Treliving's like, no, I think our defense is pretty underrated. Like, I think he understands that what's being said in the media about his team. And he's willing to kind of, you know,
throw some cold water on it.
Yeah, right. He's going to throw cold water. He is like, if people are upset with Kyle Dubas leaving, one thing you will never be upset about with Brad Treliving is he will go to bat for this team just like Kyle Dubas did. So I think a lot of Leafs fans should be at least happy about that. But it's also like, Brad, we just saw, you know, the teams that went to the Stanley Cup final. Well, maybe Florida's defense is a little different than Vegas's defense, as we found out. But you saw what the Golden Knights, that blue line that they had, albeit not salary cap compliant, what they were able to do and how they were, that team was put together. And then you stack it up with what the Leafs are going into the season with, and you're just like, I don't know about that one, Chief. I don't know about that one.
That's very true. I mean, there's a lot of things that can shake out between here and the deadline, obviously. But I will beat this drum. And Clark, you know me when it comes to my drum beating throughout the season. Either I get what I want or something happens the way that I want. Hello, Matthew Nyes on the penalty kill today. said that last show with Terry Koshan, and he was out there. David Camp starting in overtime. Said that was a smart thing to try, and it came to fruition. We can go down the list, but this one is going to be, for me, is Jake McCabe. guys.
Mine was Jake McCabe before they traded for it. You remember, James?
You were. What I'm trying to tell everybody now is, because people are just like, oh, this defense. We have not seen a full season of Jake McCabe with the Toronto Maple Leafs in this system. He has the speed. He can hit. He does block shots. He does have a little bit of an edgier kind of play than people give him credit for. And when he was with Chicago, Chicago was not a great team. So obviously he's not going to look great. When he was with Buffalo and coming through, looked a lot better there when that team was kind of on the rise, so to speak. And he was one of the better players on that squad. Now with the Maple Leafs, he doesn't have to be a standout defenseman. He just needs to be a steady defenseman, which he can be a steady, stay-at-home, physical guy and let Klingberg wheel and deal. But you get him for a full year, full ride with the Maple Leafs, and a lot of people are already kind of writing him off because of just a small sample size of last year. Let this guy become what he can become for the Toronto Maple Leafs in this system, and I think you will be pleasantly surprised. The pair that worries me is Giordano and Liljegren, because Liljegren has to step his game up significantly to make that bottom pair look good. And Giordano needs to have nights off, which he doesn't like to take, apparently, to be effective towards the end of the season. But, guys, a full season of Jake McCabe, yes, sir, sign me up. I will buy that ticket right now because I think that guy is going to be beneficial. And I think Klingberg will be that. Remember, Clark, me and you were running around in circles chasing our tails about David Camp, telling everybody, watch, this guy's going to be something for us. He ended up being the fourth, third-line center we've needed for years. Jake McKay and Klingberg, that pairing is going to be the thing that I hang my hat on this year.
Talking about third-line centers, in quotations, I do truly think that maybe it's because it's his contract year that not only for him, but they're trying to prove that he can play both. But my initial thought was, Nylander might go to center to play the second line so that maybe John Tavares can take a break because he is slowing down, to be honest. David, I want to get your thoughts. Do you think that Nylander is going to permanently stay at center, or where do you think that he's going to play during this season?
Yeah, I kind of had this discussion with myself on the podcast where it's like, what's the real reason for putting Nylander at center? Is it to have the, you know, three scoring lines, right? Make your third line, you know, not just a line you throw out there for to eat minutes, but actually be effective? Or are we setting ourselves up to see Nylander finally transition to a center because Sheldon Keefe has always believed that William Nylander is a center? Like, you hear Sheldon Keefe talk about it. He's talking this into existence to himself more than to everybody else, right? And so, like, I prefer, and what we saw in the playoffs with Ryan O'Reilly at third line center made this Leafs team that much tougher to go up against, right? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. When they loaded things up in the top six, it just didn't work as well. That's why I think the third line center role actually should work for Nylander if they, you know, insulate him with the right players, right? I understand that Tavares is slowing down and things like that, but the guy still put up 80 points.
And, 80 last year, point per game player.
True that. Right? I know a lot of people are down on Tavares, my co-hosts especially. We had a nice little talk about that in one of our last episodes. But I think, again, it's also the players you put him with. I always said that Tavares and Marner were a better fit for each other, in my opinion. I thought they always worked better together because Auston Matthews, as much as he loves playing with Mitch Marner,
he compliments everybody.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, Cal Yarncroke looked
amazing
with them, right? Yeah. They put William Nylander back with Matthews, and it worked out, right? Like, I'm more concerned about, making John Tavares
better.
It's the center that he can be, and that was always with Marner there. Now, is there another player that could do that? They're going to try Matthew Nice potentially there, or a mix of other guys. I'm more concerned about the second line than I am about Nylander, because Nylander can get those sheltered, not even Shelterman's. He's going to get the better offerings of the matchups, right? Especially, you know, the Leafs love their matchups. That's always been their thing. I think what we saw in the playoffs last year, I think Sheldon Keefe saw a little bit of that, and he wants to give that another go. And they should give it a go because you don't really have many great options for third line center.
You don't.
Right? Max Domi.
Yeah, we're talking about like Pontus Holmberg or, you know, who's it going to be? What Marley's going to fill that role. So, if you do put that player there, if you put Nylander there, even I think they got a taste of Ryan O'Reilly at third C. And even if you put John Tavares at third C, eventually, maybe not this season or maybe throughout this season, it just makes teams have to game plan against you differently. And what do the Leafs have a surplus in? They have a surplus in wingers who can definitely fill out the rest of that lineup. Not only just any type of wingers, though, skilled guys. Hello, Nick Robertson. Hello, Matthew Nyes, Bertuzzi. Go down the list. Domi. They got all kinds of guys now that can really fill out those lines and really make it a headache for other teams. And, oh, by the way, why not just throw out, you know, a big line here and there when you need a goal? Matthews, Marner, Tavares. Matthew, Marner's Nylander. And you still have a center that can take a second line role and take a run at it after you've stacked up a line and still make teams have to defend that as well. So, yeah, I think it's high time. And I think they got a taste of it last year, David. And they loved the fact that they had that third line depth option for another line you could throw out that can get you points. And I really think, I don't care what anybody says, Tavares is still a top talent. 80 points in 80 games. You can,
and he's 14 pounds lighter this year or whatever.
Yeah, I know. He said that in a press conference.
He skinnied up. All right.
Listen, he's going to be flying around the ice. Paul Matheson's going to be trying to catch him. Catch him flying. Listen, he's going to be whatever he's going to be for the Maple Leafs. Second or third line center, doesn't matter. He's going to put up points. Put him with guys. Put him with somebody you can play with some speed. Put him with Robertson and Nyes. There you go. And then make your second line, you know, Domi, Yarncroke, Nylander, like they had today.
And
just make it work. Or Sam Lafferty, for crying out loud. I don't know. He's got speed too, I guess. But
top six forward, Sam Lafferty.
Listen, hey, you know what?
I'm on
Maybe
board.
All this time he's just been miscast, and this will get him over to Carolina on a six-year deal with $5 million in his pocket after the season because he scored Michael Bunting type points.
You're looking at it the wrong way. He already has a 5x5 from the Oilers waiting on his agent's desk. That's where he's going to end up.
Wow.
He's already got the 5x5. It's already been reported.
Only 5 years? They like going seven with certain guys.
You're right. Maybe Tree Living will sign him to 8 years and get a pick back this time, like he didn't do with Hyman that time. he didn't do it. Dubas, you know what I meant. You got the joke. But David, let's look at the penalty kill. We were just talking about this with how good the penalty kill was a couple years ago. Last year was a bit of a step back. Not that it was bad, but numbers wise, you know, they were middle of the road in terms of numbers. There's all this talk about who's going to be on the penalty kill this year because obviously Kerfoot's gone and some of the other guys who have kind of filled that role are now not here, or not in Toronto, I should say. I'm not in Toronto. I'm in Saskatchewan, so they're not here either. But but Matthews, Austin Matthews, I the quotes at the press conferences today was, I think it was Sheldon Keefe or maybe Tree Living even said something about it in his, but he's one of the best players in the world. You just want him on the ice as much as you can. And Keith kind of said that, but then also backed it up by saying, you know, we haven't done it in the past because we want him out there that first shift after the penalty kill when the other team's not so good players are on the ice and he can take advantage of it. I get it all. But he is a very good player. We've seen him develop in front of our eyes. Matthew Nyes is seemingly a responsible player, but we don't know enough about him yet. I mean, hopefully we get to know a lot about him this year. But in your eyes, the penalty kill, David, what do you think would be like some ideal pairs, some guys who you think will take the bulk of the minutes? I know there's some obvious names, but I'll let you go ahead. Go. So penalty kill, hit me.
Yeah, I mean, you look at how teams have deployed their penalty kills, and the big reason why they were looking at Matthews, as you said, is to get more offensive guys on there. Like the Bruins have Brad Marchand on penalty kill, right? I know he's got more of the speed element. He's more aggressive. And that usually translates to a lot of offensive opportunities. It also, like, Matthews does the one thing that every penalty killer needs to do, and that's win faceoffs, right? And he has that body. I don't like him blocking shots. You know, they had that set of him being the, you know, the forward that blocked the most shots. I'm like, yeah, but that also wears you down as the season goes along, especially if you're not blocking shots properly. I'm sure he's working on it, right? But you know, a lot of people talked about the penalty kill, and I wasn't thrilled with how the penalty kill was last year. Like, Jake Muzzin was a guy I always missed on the penalty kill, and this is where the next Jake McCabe, is going to have to really step up and take that role, right? Unfortunately, it's the second penalty kill unit, right? Like, who, like, is it going to be Mark Giordano? That's a lot of minutes to put on him. Who's the other guy that's going to be there? Morgan Rielly did some penalty kill today, as you saw in the preseason game, and like they're just there, right? They're not. I'm not expecting Morgan Rielly guys out of the way or things like that. I've always had issues in that regard with the Leafs penalty kill. Like, it's a little too easy at times. They got to get in the lanes and they got to hope their goaltender, just give their goaltenders a chance to see the puck and hopefully he stops it. So I don't mind Austin Matthews getting a try as the second unit, right? Like, where he's not used all the time in those situations, because we know it's going to be David Kampf and it's going to be Mitch Marner, likely going to be the top penalty kill unit. And then they like to rotate guys. This is the thing about penalty kills. They can throw out different guys out there. Like, you know, Sam Lafferty probably gets that role too, because he's got this, again, the speed element. Again, that's assuming he makes the team, right? Like, that's not all given certain there. And you, this is where guys win jobs out of camp, right? If someone wants to really make themselves known that they want a bigger role, penalty kill is one way to do it. Special teams is one way to really earn it, right? Like, can a Cal Yarncroak be that guy down the road, right? We all know
Gregor.
That. Right? Yeah, anyone that's kind of doing things where they're trying to get themselves on the roster, but they're limited in their roles as a bottom six guy, penalty kill is the way to do it. So Austin Matthews should, I have no issues that they want to trot him out there once in a while to get like a face-off and things like that. But to use him heavily on the penalty kill, I'm not a big fan of that, just because I know that that just screams potential for injuries to be an issue.
Well, listen, don't poo-poo my dream of seeing Matthew Nyes and Austin Matthews, the all AZ forward group on the penalty kill. I want to see them do it, man. I think it would be some fun. Both guys really can chase the puck down. Matthew Nyes, from the small sampling we've seen, really is good at puck retrieval and really good at working the walls. Not afraid to block the shots either, not afraid to take the body. Basically been labeled a prototypical power forward so far, so we'll see how that develops. But you're right. They do rotate guys in and out. I mean, maybe you see Lafferty Nyes or, you know, a Matthews Yarncroak, just whatever. But the more elements you have to be able to use, maybe you can situationally use it against teams too, knowing Matthews matches up good against McKinnon, but not so good against maybe Steven Stamkos or whatever it is. You know, those things may come into factor as well for the Toronto Maple Leafs when they're building.
Keith mentioned it today too. I think it was today, something along the lines of like, hey, if we're in a situation where like we're down and we need to be a little bit more aggressive on a PK, that's the type of situation you would put an Austin Matthews out there, because again, he's one of the best attackers in hockey. So if you can get him out there and maybe he snipes off a pass or maybe he knocks a pass out of the air and something goes the other way, like that's kind of the time you would. Maybe he's not out there when you're up 4-1. Or if it's 0-0 or anything like that. But if you can put him out there and you're down a goal or maybe two and you need a little bit of a, who knows,
a sparky.
That's the time. I think that's the time you do it.
Well, speaking of the time to do it, the time to do it right now is with our friends over at the Hockey Podcast Network. They've partnered up with DraftKings, and you know what it is around here. It is very easy to get in on all of the action, especially with our friends over at DraftKings. If you bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets, throw down $5 on any of this week's epic matchups and walk away an instant winner. Football is more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now. Sign up with the code THPN. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for your problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccp.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, KS, licensed partner of the Golden Lake Charles, LA, 21 plus, age vary by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football for terms and eligibility, terms and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. So get yourself over there. Use the code THPN and tell them Offside sent you. Let's roll.
And batteries not included.
That's it right there. Yeah, no, they're not there. No,
they're not. No batteries.
Speaking of batteries being included, we have Riley and Klingberg being the battery that will run Power Play 1 and Power Play 2. Seeing Klingberg being the battery on Power Play 1, I'm wondering for you, David, obviously when Tyson Barrie came in, this same thing happened. They put Tyson Barrie on PP1, took it away from Morgan Riley. Morgan Riley's always been a good sport. He'll do whatever it takes for the team to win. That's just a position he likes to be in, is PP1, but he'll do PP2 or whatever it needs to be. Are we seeing too much overreaction to start, just to start a camp here and into the preseason, where this may not be what shakes out? You know, Riley may still be number one, or are they looking for that added wrinkle of Klingberg, right shot, first power play unit, as something different for the Maple Leafs this season?
Overreaction about the Leafs in training camp? I don't know what you're talking about. Like,
that's an oxymoron.
I remember when Tyson Barrie was on the top power play unit. I also remember Mike Babcock being the coach during that period, especially at the beginning. And, you know, Mike Babcock has his ways, let's just say. And then when Sheldon Keefe came in, things kind of improved a little bit for Tyson Barrie. So I think the Leafs, yeah, is Klingberg different than Morgan Riley? Absolutely. He's more of a shooter. I actually thought that when he signed, that was going to be a possibility for him. Like, he's a guy that drives offense. And the issue with the Leafs power play, in my opinion, has always been that the penalty kills would always collapse down to the net, because we know that Morgan Riley isn't going to be shooting to score on the power play until he started doing it in the playoffs. And then teams had to, you know, account for that a little bit. But, you know, like, you have to find ways to open up things for your star forwards. You can't have Pelicans thinking that they're going to be able to block every attempt that Austin Matthews has down low, or even a Mitch Marner pass, right? You got to spread things out, make them actually respect the point man, because that's the point of the power play. That's the point of the quarterback. John Klinger is going to be able to dish it out too. Like, this idea that he is going to be a shoot first guy, I don't think that's going to be a thing, because he knows the other guys that are with him are really good.
Yeah.
This isn't like Minnesota. Okay. Yeah. Anaheim had some decent players, but not like what the Leafs have, right? This is
He's got like 160 goals standing 20 feet away from him at any time. Yeah.
Right. So, like, and it just it makes him so, like, I think of it like almost like the John Carlson in Washington. Like, you had to respect John Carlson, even though you had Ovechkin on the other side.
Yep.
That's just the way, that's how a good power play is supposed to operate. And now with the Oilers, like, how much better that Oilers power play got, funny enough, when Tyson Barrie left and it was Bouchard at the point, because Bouchard has a shot that you had to respect, right? Mm-hmm. And then he could then eventually say, you know what, I'm not going to shoot, I'm going to give it to McDavid. Oh, McDavid doesn't want it, he's going to give it to Draisaitl. That's how you run a very lethal power play. And how many times I've seen the Leafs power play not take advantage, right? It'll also be nice if they can get a 5-on-3 once in a while. They did today, and I was cheering for that in the preseason. Yes, things are changing finally. But, like, that's where I see that happening. I think they're going to give, again, Sheldon Keefe will give Klingberg his opportunities. If it's, like, historically bad power play, then they can go back to what's worked for them in the past. So I say you got to change things up once in a while. Things have got always get too stagnant sometimes with the Leafs. So embrace something different, everyone. Embrace
the change.
That's it. Embrace
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the quote today was like, we have a large enough sample size, I think it was Keith, of what Morgan Riley looks like as our power play quarterback. We don't have any sample size of what John Klingberg looks like as our power play quarterback. So we want to give him a chance. And I said this with Kyle Cushman last episode, but Morgan Riley said today, you know, if John Klingberg makes our power play better, great. And, you know, like I said, it's the leadership that Morgan Riley has, because he's capable of stepping aside if there's something else there. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I want to see it happen.
Like, I always say, Morgan Riley is the captain without the letter on his jersey.
That is so true. That is so true.
That's who I wanted to be captain when the vacancy was there. But JT's not a bad second choice.
Stuff happens. David, I know that we have some cap issues. Of course, we're Toronto.
And we
have star players. Where do you see Lafferty in this lineup, if you do at all, do you think that he is somebody that might have to be put on waivers? Or I know that you can't predict an injury to happen and that person gets put on LTIR for cap compliancy. But do you think that Lafferty has a job in this top nine or just the forward group itself? Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I'd like to see Lafferty in the top nine because, you know, when you have a guy making over $1 million in the fourth line, okay, sorry, Ryan Reeves, all aside, like, I just think Lafferty, to use him properly, he's got to be in those positions where he's actually playing, right? Yeah. And using that speed, his speed, like, it showed in the playoffs just how good Sam Lafferty can be when he's used in positive situations. Right. I understand it was rough when he first got here, but it takes time to adjust. But if the Leafs can get him that defined role to start camp, yeah. But then if other guys are playing better, hey, this is a business, right? Like, I understand you don't want to lose guys for nothing, but if other forwards are better and it's Lafferty that's got to be the guy that goes, it's a good chunk of change that you can get off the cap, whether it's by waiving or trading. Right, like, you don't necessarily just have to put them on waivers. If team has a need and they like a Sam Lafferty, sure, they can make a deal work that way. But yeah, the issues with the cap is I've done so many of those cap friendly tools to see how exactly this can work, the different combinations, and it's going to be interesting to see which direction the Leafs go in that regard. I think like finding depth that's cheaper would certainly help in that regard. And I'm sure that's why Lafferty's name has come up, because if you're putting a lot of money on your fourth line with Camp, Lafferty, and Reeves, God, that's a really expensive fourth line, right?
Yeah.
That's why I think they're giving Lafferty that chance right now with John Tavares, because, hey, we see a little more than you than a fourth liner. That's clearly what they're telling them right now.
Yep.
And I think, too, like, balance is so important in the lineup as well. And if you're going to commit to this whole Nylander third line center or however, wherever you put him in the lineup, I think balancing that and knowing in the past that John Tavares has carried guys to multiple million-dollar contracts like Matt Molson and those guys in the past, I think Sam Lafferty is a great candidate. And I think you need a little bit of speed with John. So anytime you can put a guy like Lafferty out with a Tavares, I think, like you said, maybe they see more than some others do. And I don't hate it. And like you said, they can always change it. They can change it anytime they want.
Like when they had the injuries last year and they had to move the lineup around, Lafferty and Nylander formed a line together, right? Like they had to throw Lafferty into that top role, you know, top six role, and it worked, right? Mm-hmm. For a little bit, mm-hmm. right? Yep. Until they eventually made more changes. But like you can see, there's glimpses to say that it could work. But I guess at the same time, like, no, it could not work. You don't know until you try. This is the trying season, right? This is where you try everything and hope something sticks.
Yep. 100%.
Well, talking about guys that we hope stick, we hope that the waiver wire doesn't claim another victim and we get Jones and Wool both to stick with the Toronto Maple Leafs in some capacity. Now, I'm wondering for you, I'm a big Wool fan. You know this. Everybody on this podcast and who's ever listened to this knows this. I've been beating this drum for the past couple of years with Joe Wool. I thought he was ready to be here. I think he should be here. I think he's proven he deserves to be here. But with Jones coming in and 27 wins in his back pocket and other teams probably sniffing around to grab that, how do the Maple Leafs navigate these waters knowing they want Jones to be their third string goalie if Samsonov or Wool gets hurt? And for you, is it Wool or Jones, or is it just strictly Wool?
Like, for me, I've been a big Joseph Wool supporter, even when he didn't have the big season with the Marlies and then get brought up. Like, I saw there was something there, and I would see him at, you know, prospect tournaments and things like that. And I'm like, there is something there with him. It's just injuries, right?
That's you can just say he wasn't just another brick in the wool, right?
Good one. But like for me, it's like you don't need to make that Martin Jones decision right now. Injuries happen, right?
Yep.
We know that one of these goalies, knock on wood, it doesn't happen, but one of these goalies could go down, and then guess what? Martin Jones, you're up, right?
Yep.
And, you know, other injuries could lead, could open up a spot for Martin Jones to stick around on the team, right? Like, I think you got to use the time as much as possible to gauge as much as possible. And then, look, if at the end of the day, Joseph Woll, which they have a lot of high hopes for, a lot of Leafs fans have high hopes for, if he cements his spot. And look, people are not just talking about Joseph Woll as a backup. Joseph Woll starts from Ilya Samsonov. And in my opinion, only one guy is signed past this season. It's Joseph Woll and not Samsonov. Now, that's also because of the whole arbitration situation, right? But, you know, I think they want to see, do they have something in Joseph Woll, and could they use that potentially to help their goaltending situation going forward? So if Joseph Woll, for some reason, gets put on waivers, I'm going to have to question the people up above of what they're doing, right? Like, I don't think they were ever bringing Martin Jones in to say that they don't have confidence in Joseph Woll. It's just smart management to say we have to guard ourselves from what has happened in the past, which is we don't have a goalie signed. We have to now sign a goaltender from the AHL to even just be a backup.
Yeah. I remember Seth Petruzzelli, come on down.
So, and the depth in the Marlies and down below is very inexperienced, right? That's why Martin Jones is here. If they had somebody more experienced ready to battle for a third goaltender job, they wouldn't have signed Martin Jones. So I think right now the plan should be take your time, evaluate everything, see what happens during camp. I expect Joseph Woll to be the guy that takes that backup role. And then with Martin Jones, if you lose him on waivers, it's unfortunate, but it's also your third goaltender, right? This isn't like where you lost your backup goaltender one year and I'm trying to remember. Was it Curtis McElhinney that we lost on waivers?
McElhinney, Dell. And there's
Dell, I don't even. That's one of the bridge. That's okay. That didn't really pan out for.
That worked out great, actually.
Yeah. It didn't work out too bad in that regard. But like, it's not like you losing a true backup like they did when they lost Curtis McElhinney, and they were like, now we're kind of wishing we had kept him. I think it was it Garrett Sparks that they chose over him?
Yeah, yep.
That was the Garrett
Sparks. Well, Sparks had a beautiful year in the AHL, though.
Like, I mean, in fairness,
Same kind of talking we're having with Joe Woll right now, where Joe Woll had a great year in the AHL. You're like, oh, well, we should take this young guy because he's probably going to be something. And Garrett Sparks was like, no, I'm not. Sorry.
Right? Yeah. And like, Joe Woll played playoff games for you last year, and he kept your playoffs alive when you lost the starting goaltender, right? I think it counts for something as well.
Hell absolutely. Yeah. And his numbers were fantastic in the NHL as well as the AHL. So I think that also adds to his resume. But let's talk about a guy that we have talked about on the show a little bit here coming into this camp and everything, and Nick Robertson. And I'm on the record saying I think he could potentially be a bit of an X factor, not necessarily the X factor, but a bit of an X factor, just in terms of, again, cheap control player who has skill and has shown promise to be something. And if he can take one of those roster spots and save you $300,000-$400,000 over somebody else, maybe that's the way to go. But we still don't know Nick Robertson. I mean, he's never had the chance because of injury. And we talked about it last episode, but you know, he's still just barely 22 years old. And I think a lot of people, just because we've been talking about him every day for the last 4 years, it seems like he's a lot older, but he's still only just 22. So, David, I guess what's your outlook and perspective on the Nick Robertson fit in this franchise?
Yeah, it's a tough one for him because it's always been injuries for him. It's never some of it has been play, but he's also just so young. How can you, like, you know, some players take a little longer to develop. You know, he's didn't have the size, and I feel like when I read that interview or the article that was done in The Athletic about him, where he used some very not so great language, like, Nick, let's get that in check. Okay. But what I saw there was, I think he finally realized he needed to take that pressure off himself to be that top prospect that, you know, prove yourself. He has to prove himself for sure. But I think there was added pressure on him to always give 110%.
Yep.
Right? Like, they've told him before in practices, you need to dial it down just a tad, right? Like, that's been said about him. I think Haley Wickenheiser told him the same thing too. Jeez. Like, you're
she's a doctor, so she would know.
Yeah, you should listen to a doctor, right? Like, they always
say. I remember that. A couple years ago too, he was drilling. He wasn't even at his first camp yet. He'd just been drafted, but he was hitting up all the Leaf strength and conditioning coaches, getting them to send him plans so he could use them in California throughout the summer instead of taking time to rest, heal, and, you know, re-energize a little bit. They told him, take your foot off the gas. Just take a minute here and just, you'll come to camp and we'll show you these things. You don't need them right now. And he just every day was after them until they finally caved.
And I think he was one of the prospects that got the Leafs in trouble when they were having guys using the facilities, right? And the Leafs got a little trouble. Pretty sure he was one of those guys because he never wanted to leave the facility.
I think a lot of the pressure, though, does come from, you know, not only being in Toronto, but like his brother has lived up to quite the hype, and he doesn't have his height, to be honest. I feel bad for the poor guy because he got the better
team. Fans about the beginning of last year, though, that the hype was real at that point when he scored those overtime goals.
It's true. Yeah. No.
Right. Like, there is some of that too, I do think. And when you're touted as such a high prospect, that comes with that expectation. And so he puts it on himself. And I have no problem with a guy that wants to exceed those expectations, but you have to follow the people so that are going to have your best interest at hand, right?
True.
So I would love to see him make the Leafs have to do make a very tough decision when it comes to the final rosters, because you need game breakers. You need dynamic players. I don't always say you need the biggest guys because the Leafs have added size, right? Like, they've got guys who have size. This is not a small team by any stretch of the imagination. I understand that they always draft small players, but, you know, we see the potential that he has. Now, will I be disappointed if he doesn't make the roster? A little bit, but at the same time, he's waiver eligible, right? I'm not worried about losing a Nick Robertson, right? It wouldn't be the worst thing if he goes to the Marlies, plays a lot of minutes, has that desire to get himself up there. And we know sometimes it's not a long wait sometimes for these players, you know? A player could struggle, get put on waivers. Nick Robertson, you're now up, right? Now, if Sam Lafferty really struggles, and hey, Nick Robertson, that might be your opportunity to step on up, right? I think, you know, he definitely sees that the organization still has high hopes for him. I liked what Brad Living had to say, because when a new GM comes in, they didn't draft the guy, so they don't have that attachment to that player. So I do like that Brad Living, you know, I think gave him that assurance and say, we still have high hopes in this player. They see the talent. They see the age. Why give up on that right now? There's no reason to, unless there's a trade for a defenseman where, you know, you have to throw Nick Robertson in the package. Sometimes you
all
have
right, let's go to Cap Friendly and work that trade out right now. Live
here, David. Oh, gosh.
Who are we targeting?
Have you ever seen us do those on Locked On Leafs where we do the live Cap Friendly? Oh, man. Mike puts me through the ringer sometimes where I have to, but he's a master at Cap Friendly. I'll tell you that.
Well, me and him would be friends.
But I do want to see Nick Robertson put his best foot forward to make this team and make a very tough decision, because he's a guy that I've always had faith in. You know, I saw it when he was drafted, had that really good year in the OHL.
Yep.
Like, there's that different expectations when you're drafted by the Leafs and then you're in the OHL. More people are now looking at what you're doing, right? And that didn't hurt his stock at all. So I think there is – he understands the pressure, but I think he thrives with that pressure too.
And the opportunity is there too. If they're going to be running those three centers down the middle, I mean, he would fit well with – obviously your first line is probably pretty much penciled in, but Tavares, Nylander, put Robertson there for the speed aspect. We talked about John Tavares maybe needing a speedy winger. We talked about Lafferty's foot speed, but Robertson does have that. Then you pair it up maybe with a Nyes, a guy who can really dig for the puck, and maybe you got something there, some found goal on a cheap contract too. So I don't know, man. I want to see Nick Robertson do well. I just – the injuries, man, it just seems to be a freak injury after freak injury, and this guy just can't get his footing. So maybe this is it. He said he bulked up. He said he's stronger. You know, he's ready to go, and everybody – by all accounts, is saying the same things. This guy has come in and just looks different. So, good. And his shot looks good too. by the way. Saw those videos.
Well, that was never an issue. Yeah.
No, but I mean, just seeing it, right, where he had that shoulder injury, you know, you want to see the velocity coming off that stick, and it doesn't look like he's lost an inch of that. If anything, he's gained. So, I don't know, man. Nick Robertson, make the damn team. Make the tough decisions. Get on there, boy. Get on there.
Yeah.
With the thought of playing three talented centers, we need some more depth on the wings. And I don't know if Noah Gregor is necessarily the answer to those questions, but we were talking about Nick Robertson. What are your thoughts about a couple of the depth signings? I know that PTOs. We had Simon Benoit, I do believe so, the PTOs and everything. Do you see anybody that is on PTOs or in the depth trying to make the conversation difficult on the team come lineup decision?
Well, sorry to say for Dylan Gambrell, I'm sorry. I don't see him being that guy. I mean, right now, it seems like Noah Gregor has just supplanted him on the – just in that – hearing how, you know, Brad Treliving and Sheldon Keefe had talked about him, even just before camp started, right?
He's got the Zach Aston Reese allure right now, like last year.
And like even the Locked On Sharks host kind of told me that it's a guy who got a little unlucky. And we know some players, when they're unlucky and they come to the Leafs, lucky a little bit, especially when you play with some better players, right? So I think there is a bit of that Zach Aston Reese with Gregor there. The other issue, though, I see, though, is just they don't have a lot of room to add extra guys.
No.
So I don't know how you make that work unless you're challenging some of your higher paid guys like a Lafferty and in like, you know, Connor Timmins, right? That's a name that doesn't.
I don't see Connor Timmins here.
Right. Like that could be a guy that gets put on waivers because the Leafs didn't really put off anything to get him. Right. So
and Dubas will claim him again.
Dubas will claim him. Unfortunately, not everyone can go shopping in the waiver market. Maybe Arizona will claim him back just because. Oh. I mean, that would just be cruel, but I mean,
it's poor guy.
Yeah, right. So I do think that, you know, there are like Simon Benoit, he's got a bit of a bigger body. He's an RFA, so there's a bit of control with that contract. I also think that that guy spent so much time in the AHL. I don't know if a team would even be wanting to put him on their roster, right? So like, that's the thing you have to consider is like if you're gonna sign a guy like a Noah Gregor, is he gonna play for your NHL team or are you gonna be putting him on waivers, right? And is that really worth the headache of going through all that, right? And let's not forget, it's not like you can just sign anyone to any NHL contracts. The Leafs have 47 out of 50 contracts. I'm always looking at that, and like, some people don't realize that that's one thing that keeps players from getting signed. Because once they're there, unless you're waiving somebody else to make getting them off the books with their contracts or trading someone away, you have to keep that in mind. Because when you want to make trades down the road, like the Leafs did at the last trade deadline, guys have to be shipped out in order to bring guys in. Pierre Engvall, Sandin, like all those trades that were made, a lot of those contracts had to go up because you have to stay within that 50 limit. So that's the other thing that you have to consider when you're looking at guys you're bringing in on PTOs.
I do think Noah Gregor would have a fit here, though. Just the physicality, probably be a league minimum contract.
Yep.
Can probably give you things that a Lafferty would give you, you know. And then you look at Simon Benoit, probably can be supplanted over Connor Timmins, a guy that, again, is getting paid a little bit more than you probably want to be paying a guy that's not playing every night or probably not playing much at all.
Yeah. And I think, James, too, like when we were talking about this the other day, right now I think if they go to 20 guys and they use all the 20 guys that we would all think that they would keep on the roster right now, I think they're cap compliant. But they have to go bare bones 20 guys. Like, that's no extra people. And we're in a situation where the Leafs are in a situation where they're like every 300K or 400K difference matters right now. So if you're talking Benoit over Timmins, that's 300K difference in terms of their contracts that you could. And if you're talking Lafferty and Gregor, that's 450, something like that. So you're talking 750K between those two guys. Like that's
extra body.
That's an extra body. So, and potentially two extra bodies, depending on how you look at it. So, I mean, that's kind of the situation that the, and I mean, it's Brandon Pridham. Are we worried?
Like, what? No.
Are we worried? No.
Never.
No, injuries have a way of figuring themselves out. And Cali Yarncroke is already apparently nicked up. So, you know, that's right. 2 point whatever.
Well, that's another million. Factor too, right? If Yarncroke goes on, that's, what is it, 2.2 or what, 2.1 or whatever. And that clears it up and gives you at least like a month's wiggle room, at least. So you can figure some stuff out. And then when he comes back or whatever well, it is.
The thing
I don't know
about having
is,
that, but, you know, I don't ever want to see a guy injured. So don't put me on the books to say no. This. But if a guy is injured,
James wants Cali Yarncroke injured. Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron's, I don't want the injured, buddy. I really
I
like
know if you guys like to make that happen if you want, you know. Say the word.
Well, we're getting in trouble.
Jesus. But what I'm saying is if Yarncroke goes on there, you know, the good thing about that is, you know, the silver lining, if you will, is other teams will have to make their moves. They'll pick up guys on waiver wires. They'll fill spots that they need filled, which if you're able to hold on to a Jones or, you know, a Lafferty or whoever, Timmons, and then when he gets closer to coming back from that injury, put them through the waiver wire. Teams have already made their deck shuffling and done what they need to do. So it may be a little bit better of a time slipping them through opposed to right when everybody's doing it. Everybody's like, oh, this is the pick of the litter. Like, what are we going to get today? You know, we're shopping.
Yeah, a lot less people get claimed on day two of a lot less people get claimed on day two of waivers than they do on day one of waivers usually. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, but even still with Yarncroke, even if he's out for 2 weeks to start the season, that's two right. weeks later in. Right. So also, yeah. I guess other teams could have injuries in that time, but I'm just saying it might be better for the Leafs to get some guys through like a Jones and et cetera. Right.
Sure.
And you also have to think which teams would actually likely make a claim, right? There's a lot of teams that, yeah, have cap space, but are they going to waste that cap space on? Like, when you're looking at a Connor Timmins, it's not a one-year deal. This is a two-year deal. He is an RFA at the end of it, too. So, you know, teams have to keep that in mind. Are you going to commit to that player for 2 years along, you know, when you're making that waiver claim? Things like that do, you know, take into account. Salary cap is going up. I get that. But salary cap isn't going up this year. Right.
Yeah, it is what it is now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Teams are less likely to make certain moves because they want to save themselves for later in the season. You know, some of these teams that have the cap space, they want to keep that cap space if they want to, you know, make some moves and help other teams and get some assets in return.
That's true.
One guy I think that will be on the move if Tampa Bay doesn't make the playoffs, Steven Stamkos, putting that out there now. There seems to be a lot of friction between Stamkos and that organization. So speaking of players possibly on the move, Tampa's not doing so hot. Maybe Stammer goes somewhere else.
What was Ryan O'Reilly's contract last year? 7.5? What did Ryan O'Reilly make? 8.5, double retained. How much money do the Leafs need to add Stamkos at the deadline? Okay, I'll figure it out. We'll get there.
Could you imagine Stamkos just being like, yeah, I want out and I'm going to Toronto. I'm going
to
help those guys beat
the Toronto.
Bulls.
Yeah.
I actually didn't even. I don't know if Stamkos even has like a no move clause because that
he really does have a no move clause.
So you know if that becomes a thing, he can dictate exactly where he wants to go.
The right handed shot 1T that we need on the power play. Please, oh please, sign me up for that.
Also, you know, hey, Stamkos helped the Lightning out with his contract. Also makes them a little easier to trade if you're doing some retentions as well.
Mm-hmm.
Man, just the spinning. Hey, man, I think the window is closing in Tampa, in my opinion. Boston's as well with just the forward group anyways. Their defense and goalies are good. But, yeah, I think the Leafs, again, have a good opportunity here for first in the Atlantic. And let's play the Pittsburgh Penguins round one and just have some fun, right?
James, I hope you know with what you just said that the Lightning are going to go on another three-peat or something like that, just because you said that.
Andre Vasilevsky's just like, you forgot the dunk.
He's just like in his mask, and he's just like, what did he say?
He's just crazy eyeing me.
Yeah.
Listen, I said that about the Boston Bruins last year. I said they were done. They're going to step back with their injuries and all that stuff, and they blew the doors off. So maybe I just gave the magic tonic over to them. But
yeah, hey, yeah. Thanks, James.
Tanner Janot's about to have 45 goals this year because of you.
Listen, if you know, you know. But, David, I want to thank you very much. You always make time for us. We love it. If you guys are not tuning into Locked On Leafs, they are a daily Leafs podcast. Listen to them. They have great insight after every single game. get you prepped for game days. Love it. Love listening and tuning in. And then love have David over here to pick his brain on things that I want more clarification on, or Clark or Dylan, same thing. But David, thank you so much, man, for always coming on.
Appreciate it, guys. Yeah, we can't wait to be breaking down to that first preseason game with us. Fine tooth comb.
Oh, don't worry. Hey, at least it's a little meat on the bone, right? It's not nothingness.
Yes.
No more nothing burgers. There's actual stuff to talk about.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know what this is right here? This is Offside Hockey Talk, where the Maple Leafs and hockey come to talk.